You're listening to Ephesians, a teaching series from Reality LA.
If you have your Bible, please open it to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're starting a new chapter tonight. I'm excited. We're going to look at four verses. They are a few, but they are strong. So follow along with me. Beginning in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is God's word. Let's pray together. Lord, what an incredible, incredible opportunity it is to look at your word. And Lord, as we study it tonight, I want to ask that you would open our minds, you would illuminate them. Would you open our hearts to receive the words that you want to speak? Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would be in this place, in this time, doing your thing. I believe there's some here that need encouragement. Would you encourage? For those who need correction, correct. For those who need conviction, convict. And Lord, we do ask that you would truly have your way and your will. And ultimately, we pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and that your people would be blessed. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. As many of you know, we live in an age currently where many people, many of you, many of your friends, family members, we have grown up in broken homes. And many of us have broken relationships with our parents. And we live in the age of the fatherless generation, anywhere from around 1970 to the present time. It's being called the fatherless generation. I recently saw a billboard driving through Los Angeles that said, take time to be a dad today. And it's almost this subtle reminder, you have kids. Don't forget. If you're like wondering what you forgot, maybe it's your kids. And our society is having to give us reminders through billboards to even say, hey, be a dad, right? And many of you here didn't have present parents. Some of you didn't have any parents at all. There's many represented here. And I know that even as I bring up this topic, or even as we read this passage on parents, maybe some of you are reminded of pain, or immediately anger comes to the surface. Or maybe you've felt neglect or are feeling neglect, even with the thought of your parents and mistreatment. And if you're here today and you have had that happen to you, if you've been mistreated by your parents, let me just start off by saying that your desire to have healthy relationships with both your parents is good and right. That is a good thing. And I would even go further to say that God's desire for you is that you should have had good parents who loved you well and cherished you and raised you up. But we do know because of sin and brokenness that some of you here didn't have that, didn't have parents that invested or wanted to raise you up or cherish you. And as a society, we see that our family unit has been broken down in many ways. A recent statistic said that more than 3 in 10 children grow up in broken homes. And in these homes, many tragedies can stem from broken homes. Let me give you a couple. 70% of those in juvenile detention come from broken homes. 57% of all prison inmates that come from broken homes, 63% of teen suicides, 71% of teen pregnancies. This is a real thing. It's a real issue. And even if you don't believe in the Bible, if you're here tonight and you say, I don't necessarily believe God's word, you can see, and we can see that the home is broken down. And you can also see that children thrive when fathers and mothers are in the home. Now, endless studies affirm that what we really do know and long for deep down, that a child thrives the most when both parents are involved. Now, I'd like to talk to the single parents in the room. If you're here and you are a single parent, this does not mean that you can't do a great job. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't give you the grace to be both mom and dad. And it doesn't mean that God won't put people in your life to help to develop some of those things that might be lacking. But what we see here is God affirms his design for family, that there would be a father and that there would be a mother involved. And since our family unit is broken, we can see that this absolutely affects the child and parent relationship that we have going on today. And as a society, and we as children, if you have parents, which everyone here does, just so we're clear about that, this absolutely affects your relationship with your parents. This brokenness affects that. And as a society, we as children often like to put the blame on our parents. I mean, how many of you have been at that place where you're like, well, I'm this way because my mom was this way, or I'm this way because my dad was this way? And you tend to not take responsibility for your own actions. You say this is someone else's fault. Now, in a lot of cases, this is the case because in many ways, as you're growing up, you trust your parents. You trust your life to them, even though you don't know that, right? You're growing up and maybe mom and dad didn't have the capacity or the ability to instill in you the right things. And because of sin, we see this tendency as people, you and I, as children, to blame shift and not take responsibility for our actions. And oftentimes we look into our past where we've been wronged and then we blame our sin on other people. Oftentimes one or both of our parents. And instead of taking responsibility for our own sin, we put it on others. And in our text today, we come to Ephesians chapter 6. And Paul shows us it's not only parents who have responsibility to children, which they do, but children also have responsibility to their parents. Parents have responsibility towards children. Children have responsibility to parents. And we see this command in this text to honor, specifically honor. And it's interesting that Paul uses this command to honor your parents because biblically, honor to your parents is second only honor to honor of God. Next to your relationship with God, it is the relationship with your parents that has had and will have the biggest impact on your life. The parent ultimately lays the first foundation of our lives. And this passage specifically addresses how we are to live in a way that brings health to us and our families and even to a society as a whole. So we're gonna look at what the Bible says. We're gonna look at what the Bible says children should give parents and parents should give children, and then we're gonna unpack this command of what it looks like to honor your father and mother. Now, if you remember where we're at in the book of Ephesians, we're jumping into chapter 6. We've been going through Ephesians and we have seen the gospel has shaped who we are, that our identity right now, by this portion, Paul has explained that our identity is in Christ and we have unity with Christ. And Paul has been explaining to the believers in Ephesus that because of the grace of God through Jesus, this is how you should live. This is how you should be married. This is how you should interact in work. This is how you should interact in your home and society. And today he mentions what it should look like to be a child and what it looks like to be a parent. So we're gonna start with children because we're not everyone in this room is a parent. Everyone's a child. So we're gonna start with children. Look at verse 1 with me of Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, Paul opens up this chapter with a calling to children to obey their parents. And as a parent, I am so thankful that Paul tells children to obey their parents. I'm incredibly thankful. I have two kids and a new baby due in 3 weeks. So if I get a call or anything like that and my wife's in labor, I will be leaving here. Hopefully that won't happen during this time, but any day now, we're expecting the third one. And I can tell you from personal experience that children need order and they need direction and they need to obey their parents, not only for their good, but also for God's glory. And as people, especially parents, no one argues this point. If you're a parent, even if you're a nanny, right? Like you don't have to, this is a very real thing. You do not have to argue with this point. Kids need direction. Children come into this world with an incredible ability and skill to sin. Let me give you an example. I've never had to teach my kids to be disrespectful, ever. I've never had to teach them that. Never had to teach them to lie. Never had to teach them how to be rude. I never had to teach them how to throw fits. Never had to do that. It wasn't like they got this from my wife and I. It wasn't like one day my kids see my wife and I engaged in the kind of conversation that if one of us doesn't get our way, our response is to throw ourselves on the ground and to scream and act like we're going to die if we don't get what we want. Like this doesn't happen in our home. This is not normal. They know how to do this by by themselves, and God knows that. And so Paul directly addresses children. Now, most likely these were young children who Paul is addressing from birth to when they leave home. So he's saying, hey, if you're anywhere from that point of birth to leaving home, this is for you. So if you're here and you're between the age of comprehension and leaving home, this is for you, all right? No getting around it. Now, Paul says, obey your parents, but then he adds these three words, which I really think are so beautiful. And as we look into them, we see the intentionality. It says, obey your parents, and then those three words, in the Lord. And Paul doesn't just speak to the child's act of obedience, he speaks to their motivation. He says, in the Lord. Children ultimately obey God by obeying their parents. And he connects this thing of obedience with the Lord for their obligation before God. And when Paul directs children to obey, this is under the assumption for parents that they are fulfilling their God-given duty to give their kids boundaries and ultimately to expect them to obey those boundaries. And when parents don't do this, they dishonor the Lord, and it can lead children, and as we see in this passage, to rebel against them and even the Lord. Kids need direction. So Paul says to children, obey your parents. And after Paul tells children to obey their parents in the Lord, he quotes one of the Ten Commandments. He says, and you can see it, honor your father and mother. So we come to this command right in the middle of this passage, and Paul says to the children, honor your parents. And Paul moves from addressing adolescent children and is now saying to anyone that is a child and has parents to honor. It doesn't matter what your age, honor. So what does this command actually mean to honor our parents? I mean, ultimately, why should we? How should we? And so what I want to do is take a minute, and I want us to look at the what of this command, the why of this command, and how. What, why, and how. Make sense? All right, let's go there. What is honor? This command says honor your parents. Now, the best way to understand what this command requires is to let us look at specifically what it does not say, okay? This command does not say agree with your parents. It does not say enjoy your parents. It doesn't say children, have warm feelings towards your parents. And it doesn't even say obey your parents. But you might say, why is that? Why doesn't it give direction? Because we have to remember that this is one of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, which we don't have time to go into today, if you remember, are the 10 principles that God has given us in his word that we are supposed to build our entire life around. They're principles. These commands are true. They're for everybody. And we can build our lives around them. And as we look into the word, and as we look into this word honor, we see that God was incredibly intentional in using that specific word. So why does this command say to honor and not obey? Why does it say honor and not agree with them? Because in certain situations, it would be impossible to agree with your parents. Why? Because some parents are evil, and it would be wrong to agree and condone their sin. In some situations, it would be impossible to trust your parents because some parents are unstable. Some of you have experienced this, and to trust an unstable person would be foolish and even wrong. And it doesn't say to obey your parents as an absolute command because your relationship with your parents change, and it changes much. If my children obey me, but they do it with a bad attitude, they are obeying, but they're not honoring me. And this is why the Bible does not command that you admire your parents, because ultimately our relationship with our parents is a very complex thing. Just think about it for a minute. Our relationship with our parents goes through vast changes throughout our lives. For example, how I relate to my newborn little girl next month and how I relate to her when she is 40, that's gonna be a very different relationship, right? And even within that, even the time between birth and 40, there's going to be so many different ways that we interact and that our relationship changes. And Paul starts out this passage and he says, children, obey your parents. And he speaks to children about their external obedience. And then he goes on to say, but make sure you honor your parents. And he speaks to your internal motivation. But the fact is, we all grow up, and while we don't always have to obey our parents, we do have to honor them. And we see Paul saying, your relationship with your parents is complex. And because of that, I'm not going to give one blanket statement like obey or admire, because ultimately what you need to do is honor. Sometimes that looks like obedience when you're a child. And sometimes that looks different. And we'll get into that. So the Bible says, you don't have to agree, but you do have to honor. Now, every child must understand that this is their responsibility. No matter who you are, no matter what condition you are in, every child must in every circumstance honor their parents. Now, something to point out about honor. Honor we see in this passage especially, honor is a moral choice. Now, here's what I mean by that. Honor has ultimately nothing to do with your feelings, okay? And when Paul says this, it's really genius that he adds this command here. A writer says, honor is the unsentimental moral nucleus for your relationship with your parents. It's unsentimental. Basically, your responsibility to honor your parents has nothing to do with how you feel about honoring your parents. And that's important to differentiate. That means your parents might be trustworthy when you are younger, but they aren't now. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't honor them. They may have been responsible, but now they're not. You have to remember, your relationship is changing. Our responsibility is to honor, but there's something that is always true, a nucleus, so to speak. It's unsentimental. It's a matter of moral choice, and it doesn't have to do with conditions or feelings. And to be clear, we're not talking about flowers for mom or a phone call once a week. Although moms love that, don't they? They just love phone calls. If you haven't called your mom for a while, here's a reminder. Call your mom. Moms love that. But that's not what honor is. And we have to be careful not to think that just doing one thing for our parents, like a phone call, making a phone call, or giving them something is honor. Honor is ultimately a lifelong responsibility. And to honor your parents is to decide to treat them with dignity, courtesy, and long-term loyalty to their best interest. That's what it is. It's a decision. And we have to distinguish this between nice gifts and visits. And we have to make the distinction between obeying, trusting, and even intimacy with our parents and honor. And we have to, because you can give a person honor without all those other things. And this can be hard to distinguish, especially as adult children. We think if we honor them, then we're going to be condoning how they live or how they've treated us. But that's not true. You can still honor them without condoning how they raised you. And you can still treat them with respect and dignity and honor them without doing those things. Even as this principle or command relates to young children, we see that obedience should flow. It should ultimately flow out of this command to honor your parents. So what does this command require? What is it? Honor. No matter what age, what disposition we are in, we are to honor our parents. Remember, it's a responsibility that we have. Now why? Why do we honor our parents? Why does God give the command for all children to honor their parents? Now, what many people say is, it's because you're my flesh and blood. Your mom might have used this on you. She says, you're going to honor me, or you're going to respect me because I brought you into this world. I can take you out, right? You're going to honor me, right? And honestly, I know a lot of people use this, a lot of parents use this on their kids. You're going to honor me because you're my flesh and blood. But unfortunately, that's just not biblical, right? And what we see is a lot of parents use this on their kids. You see, one of the things about the Bible that's beautiful is adoption is one of the main themes of the Bible, that we see that we are adopted into Christ. And what we see specifically here is that it doesn't have to do with flesh and blood. So how are we to honor our parents? Well, look at what the text says. Why are we supposed to do this? Why? First of all, because God commands it. First thing, it's a command. Simply put, when we order our lives around the Bible and God has given us these commands, it brings glory to him, it blesses us and others. And also because we see ultimately that this is God's design for family. You see, there's a promise attached to this, which is really interesting. He says, honor your father and mother, but he says, and this is the first command with a promise. Check it out. This is what it says. That it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. It's kind of interesting, huh? God is saying there is a moral order in the universe. And when we honor our parents, we see that we are aligning ourselves with God's way of doing things. There is a way that God has designed a healthy society to flow from a healthy family. This promise that is attached to this, it promises that when we respect and when we honor our parents, it leads not only to health in your life and your family's life, it also leads to a flourishing society. A godly parent's commands for you are good, that it may go well with you. And some of you think like, I don't know what to do. I mean, I know it's a command and I know that it's a blessing, but listen, this is really important, that it may go well with you. A godly parent's commands for you are good, that it may go well. Now, when you're a kid, it's easy to kind of miss this, like miss out on this promise. We think that our parents are just being mean. You can't eat this. You can't do that. You can't spend time with these people, right? But a godly parent's desires for us, and this is important to distinguish, they really do know best for us. God puts them over our life for a season. You remember, they lay the first foundation in our lives. Now, my parents were quick to give me instruction and care for my good. I have two wonderful parents, and they were really quick to give me direction and to lay that foundation. And as children who don't see the full picture, sometimes it's easy just to think that they're against us, but the Bible says, no, there's a promise attached. And as children, there's a time to trust them ultimately. And that gets to really the internal motivation that we talked about for honoring. I remember when I was, I think, 3 or 4, and my brother and I had to take the dreaded nap time every afternoon. Oh, if you were a young child, you remember this. I hated this. Like, my parents always made us take a nap in the afternoon. We're tired, lay down, go to sleep. And my older brother and I, we shared a room. We had bunk beds, and we decided this is a terrible idea. Like, we're not going to sleep during this time. So to pass time, when we were supposed to be sleeping, my older brother convinced me to play this game where he would grab my hair, like just a whole handful of hair, and then just see how much he could pull out with one pull. You see where this has left me, all right? And then I remember my mom walking in and just seeing my brother with handfuls of hair, like, oh, I don't know, right? It was a tragic day. And I remember being so scared and so confused, like, oh no, mom's mad at me, it's scary. And my mom and dad, every day, they made us take a nap all the time. And my mom, at that time, and my dad, they knew what I needed more than I did. At the simple age of 3, that was a nap, right? And as I got older, that translated to different situations. What friends I spend time with, who I should date, when I could date, what are good places for me to invest my time? And as godly parents, they decided what was good for me, and it was good for me because I would have not made those decisions on my own. So why honor? Ultimately, because it is a command, and it is how God has designed the family to function. If you honor your parents, you thrive. Your parents thrive, and we see even in the scriptures, society even thrives. The authority structure of the home, and this might surprise some of you, but the authority structure of the home is where children learn to respect for all other authority that will eventually be over them. They learn it in the home first. And the home is the place where we learn to order and we learn order, and life structure. So how do we do all of this? How can we practically honor our parents? We see the what, we see the why, but how do we do that? Let me give you a couple ways. How to honor your parents. First, find culturally appropriate ways to honor them. Find culturally appropriate ways. You've got to find ways that your parents, specifically your two parents, feel honored. Now, we all grow up in different environments, some of us in different countries, different cultures, and where our parents are from and where they grew up might change what honor looks like. I have a Korean friend, and how he honors his parents is quite a bit different than how I honor mine. And that's not bad, but it's different. And if I did what he did for his parents, for my parents, it might be confusing to them. They might say, this is nice, but this doesn't honor me, right? Now, some of you think again that you have to agree with your parents to honor them. That's not true. You don't have to agree with them. You can still honor their opinions. And something important to point out is that there's not one blanket act to honor your parents. If there was, we would all be quick to say, I'm doing the one thing that says to honor your parents, and you'd check off the list and you'd be done with it. But it says honor. And because it says honor, it means you need to think about it. You need to take time and pray it through and say, how does my dad feel honored? What is he like? What's he into? What he's passionate about? What about my mom? What is she like? What is she into? We have to be thoughtful. It needs to be specific to them and what makes them feel honored. Second way, value your parents' world. No matter how old they are, remember that they are living in a world that is highly relevant and valuable to them. They are. Don't mock their limitations and their inabilities. Love them in it. Don't be condescending because they're not as good with technology as you are, because they're constantly accidentally calling you on their phone. Don't belittle them. Help them. And honestly, who really cares? Because your parents, even though they might not be do well with technology, it does not mean that they don't have a ton to offer you. Just because your parents might not be advanced in ways that you appreciate, it doesn't mean that they don't have a ton to offer you. They have a lifetime of experience. Listen to them. It is important. They will most likely love things that you don't, but you can still appreciate their world. Do something they like to do. Take them to places they like. Value their world. Thirdly, speak well of your parents. You can honor your parents by how you speak of them. Now, some of you will have no problem with engaging in your parents' world. You enjoy some of the same things. You're similar, so that's not a problem. But your problem really is then speaking terribly of your parents when they're not around and being frustrated with them or saying, oh, I'm my mom again, right? We honor our parents when we are gracious towards them even when they're not around. We have to remember our parents are people too. And for whatever reason, I can say this as a child and now as a parent as well, it's really interesting. Like sometimes parents can just seem, there's this weird mystery, like they just seem like, oh, they're fine, they're not really hurt by what I say. Yes, they are, they're people. And when you say negative things, it hurts them as well. But we can show them honor by speaking well of them. Think about what you're saying about your parents to your friends. Be careful not to speak negatively or in an ungodly way. Honor them. Fourthly, show respect. Respect their need to see themselves in you. Give them credit for what they have done right and not always just point out what they haven't. Give them credit for what they've done right. Here's what I mean. My son, Duke, he started school this year, and the second week of school, he got something called Star Student. And this honestly just means that he listened well and obeyed his teacher. So I'm trying to point out, it was not some prestigious award, like he did something incredible that no other child could do. He simply obeyed and he listened. And at the end of the year, I think anyone, even if you don't listen or obey, will get Star Student eventually. So I don't know what that means, but basically, he got Star Student the second week, and he gets in the car, and he says, Dad, I was Star Student. And I just remember feeling so proud and honored. The little kindergartner got Star Student. But why is that? Why was I proud? Why was I honored? Because when my son looks beautiful to the world, he's telling the world what I'm like. And that brings me honor. And your parents, it's the same thing. And on the contrary, if my son looks foolish to the world or wicked, he's telling the world what I'm like. And there's a unique mystery when it comes to how we are viewed by our parents. And it's hard to fully understand this. I know you do understand this, but I think as you have children, you fully see the full picture. But it's important to give them credit where you can. And you might need to call one of your parents and say, hey, Mom and Dad, everything I learned about hard work, I learned from you. What would it be like if you called your mom and said, Mom, I learned how to be gracious with people because of the way that you constantly were gracious with me and gracious with other people. Thank you for teaching me that. Now, some of you have the type of relationship with your parents that they would not even believe who they're talking to. Like, who is this person? What? Like, you've had maybe a negative interaction or life with your parents, and they've never heard these words come out of your mouth. We honor them when we value their need to see themselves in us. Think about how your father or mother would feel if you actually did that. Wouldn't that be incredible? There is something of them in you, and when you point that out and put aside differences, you honor them. Don't be afraid to let them see themselves in you. Those are just a few ways to respect. Fifthly, and we'll move on. Fifthly, forgive. Every human was built for family love. Now, family love, just to be clear, is unconditional love. It's a love that you can be absolutely sure of, that no matter what you do or what you've done, you will be loved. And as many of you know this, most parents are unable to give this to their kids. In some cases, they try, but maybe sometimes you disappoint them or they're disappointed in some of your decisions. And they say, oh, you haven't dated the person that we've wanted. Has your parents ever said that to you? You're not dating the right person. Or you didn't follow the career that we had for you. We had this beautiful career laid out and you blew it up. Or they say you're not religious or you're too religious. And they really in many ways are saying, we love you, but these things aren't good and we don't like how they've worked out. And so there's conditions in some ways to our love. And what you need, what I need, we need family love. And whether you know it or not, you've been looking for it like crazy. But you've been looking for it in places where it cannot come. And your parents, in many cases, weren't able to give this to you. And a lot of us carry around wounds from our parents or from not even having a family at all. And one of the greatest gifts you can give to your parents, one of the greatest ways you can honor them is to forgive them. Now, this doesn't mean, and I've said this before, that you're excusing what they have done or the hurtful ways that they have treated you in the past, or that you're even approving of how they raised you. We forgive not because our parents deserve it or they have even asked for it. We don't give it because of that. We simply forgive because we have been forgiven in Christ. We have all been forgiven much by Christ, and therefore we must forgive others. And the Bible is crystal clear on this. We cannot receive the gift of forgiveness from Christ and refuse to extend it to others, even our parents. And if we do not forgive, then we put right back on the chains that God set us free from. We just put them on again, and we remain in bondage, and we remain ultimately in bitterness and unforgiveness. And some of you here have had the gift, and it's a rare gift, it's a special gift, of parents that you can love and respect and that love and respect you. And if that's the case, thank God for that. Call them, thank them, meet up with them, buy them a meal. Thank them for being good parents. You don't even know what they actually did for you, more than you could ever know. But we live in a world of sin and brokenness. And many of us have broken parents or still have broken parents. And so we have these struggles. Now, as we are looking for this unconditional love, this family love, we're going to get to this in a little bit, but there's only one place we can ultimately find that, and that's in the Father. We're going to get to that in a bit, but we need to know that our desires for these things often are misplaced. And when they are, we need to be quick to forgive. We might not always be able to love and respect and trust, but we can always honor. We can always do that. So we've seen here, we've seen what Paul says. He lays out for the children. He says, here's what it means to be a child. But we all grow up, right? Hopefully we do. And many of us will become parents. Many of you in this room will become parents. And so Paul has a word for us about that too. And so look at verse 4 really quick. He addresses fathers. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So Paul now turns to the father and he warns them to not treat their children in a way that would anger them. Now, this is an interesting thing that Paul specifically points out fathers. Just to give you a quick snapshot, Paul is writing, if you remember, to the church at Ephesus, and the Roman father had absolute power over his family. And the Christians that lived in Ephesus and in that culture knew that the father had absolute power over his family. He could sell them as slaves. He could make them work in his fields. He could take the law into his own hands and literally apply the death penalty to his own children. He had absolute power over his family. So this command would come as a surprise to the Jewish and Roman father. It would have been kind of interesting. And given the heavy-handedness of the culture at the time and of the fathers of the time, most likely the fathers would have expected the reading to be something like, children should not provoke their fathers to anger through disobedience and through rebellion. But interestingly enough, that's not what Paul says. And it's interesting to point out how crazy the Roman father was, because it shows us how, in many ways, powerful it is what Paul is saying here. He says, fathers, don't even provoke your children, let alone exercise all that power. Don't even provoke them. And fathers, he says, need to exercise. They need to exercise sensitivity and care in how they interact with their children and discipline them. Now, this passage right here, it rules out some specific type of reactions. I'm going to give you a couple. It rules out things like flare-ups or overly harsh words or insults or sarcasm or nagging or inappropriate teasing, unreasonable demands, and disciplining out of anger. It says that's not okay. And even as I mentioned this list, some of you are thinking, that was my childhood. Like, I was insulted all the time. My parents were incredibly sarcastic. There was a ton of inappropriate teasing. And if you're here and that was your childhood, I believe that there's a heavenly Father who would like to heal those wounds in many ways. And this passage tells us what the job of a parent really is. So we see Paul point out right here, he addresses fathers specifically. Now, obviously, just to make it clear, both mothers and fathers are a part of raising their children, but we see that Paul puts the primary responsibility on the father to make sure that this is actually happening. Obviously, mothers, they do so much in raising the kids, but he puts the responsibility to make sure that this is happening on the father. So I want to take a minute to speak specifically if there are fathers in the room and to future fathers in the room. Let me just take a minute to talk with you. Ladies, feel free to listen in. As I've mentioned, we live in a time of a fatherless generation. And before I go into this, I want to be really clear that this is not like a smack you upside the head kind of thing where it's like, oh, guys are terrible. And no, I'm not here to berate you and to belittle you. But we live in a very broken time, okay? And we live in a time of the fatherless generation. And we live in a time where fathers aren't taking the responsibility to be fathers very seriously. And if I can implore you as a pastor of this church and a brother in Christ to please heed the word that God is giving to us in this passage. Our kids and future kids need it. Our wives need it. Even our society needs it. And our world is craving men to step up and take seriously the responsibility of fatherhood. We have the responsibility to take time and to teach our children what it looks like to be a man after God's own heart. Now, some of you might say, I didn't have a father that showed me how to do this. My dad wasn't that dad. He didn't even walk with God. He wasn't even a Christian, so to speak. That does not negate your responsibility to making sure that this is a priority in your life. God says really clearly to us as men, fathers, take responsibility of this. And through prayer and through asking God to align you with his word and through others coming into your life and showing you how to practically do this, this is possible no matter what your upbringing was. We as fathers and future fathers need to take initiative in our families to make sure that our kids know who Jesus is and know how to talk to him. We need to take time and train our kids to be decent humans who can be disappointed without being crushed. We need to teach our kids to be confident in who God has made them. We need to teach them how to handle money and how to honor God with that money. You need to teach the kids, you need to teach your kids the Bible. It's not just someone's job at church on Sundays to teach them the Bible. Now, if you're here and you're like, I don't have an eloquent ability to talk to my kids, you don't have to have a formulated 3-point sermon for them every single night when you read the Bible to them, right? Sometimes in my home, it's like the attention span's maybe 2 minutes long. We get through one page and we say, you know what? That's good. What's the principle of the story? Obey your parents, kids. All right, let's pray. Let's go to bed. The point isn't that you are perfecting all of these things. And I'll be the first to say, I don't have this all figured out. I have young children as well. But that doesn't stop the responsibility that I have to take initiative and to learn from others that have gone much further than I have. You are the spiritual leader of your home, and God will give you the vision, he will give you the ability, and he will give you the strength to be a good father as you look to our heavenly Father. So to parents, there's for the fathers and the future fathers, to parents, as we look throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, we see that the primary job of the parents is training. The essence of a parent's job, as we see in this passage, is to discipline and instruct, which is ultimately training. And the definition of training is to form by instruction, discipline, or drill, or to make prepared for a test of skill. Our job as parents, fathers and mothers, is to get our kids ready and to prepare them to go through life and train them with discipline and instruction. Now, we know as a culture, this has not been the idea, especially in recent years. And again, I know a lot of you, Nanny, you've seen this. One of the reasons we see this now is because parents are not really being parents in many ways. And a lot of parents, ultimately, they want their kids to have an amazing life, which is a great goal, by the way. I want my kids to have an amazing life as well. But the problem is that the way culture is going about that is deadly. And we live in an age where a lot of parenting ends in a question mark instead of a period. And here's what I mean. As we said, children obey your parents. Children need direction. They need training from their parents. This is a real thing. And if I ask my kids, do you feel like going to bed now? You know what they're gonna answer, their answer will be every time? No, right, you already know the answer. No, the answer is of course no. And we live in a time when parents are leaving the parenting to what their little bundle of joy wants. Almost in some ways, putting this responsibility on them. But the Bible teaches something completely different. It teaches that the responsibility to train is on the parents. And ultimately, as this verse says, it is to ultimately then raise them up, to raise them up, to get them out from under their authority, to get them to freedom with Christ. The whole idea of parenting is to raise a child up and not keep them dependent upon the parent. Ephesians chapter 5, we went through marriage last week, a great teaching on marriage. And the Bible says really clearly in the end of chapter 5 that you should leave your father and mother and cleave to your spouse. There's a time when it is appropriate to leave and to cleave. And the Christian model is that a parent should have enough authority to train and teach their children, but the ultimate purpose is that they would raise them up and get them out from under their authority. It's to raise them up through discipline and instruction, to grow them up so they can make decisions for him or herself. And the whole purpose of parenting is to raise them up, both with practical life skills and following Jesus. Now, some of you might be here and thinking, well, how do I practically discipline and instruct my children or for my future children? How do I practically do this? I need like the nuts and bolts of how I actually do this. And we know this is a need in our church. And where most of you here, I said, are not parents, as we know. But for the parents, we're going to have something on April 23rd. You can mark your calendar, April 23rd at First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood. We're going to have something called Intentional Parenting Conference. And it's the primary purpose is to go through this, to go through what it looks like to raise passionate Jesus followers, to instruct them and to build them up and to encourage them. If you're single or you're even parents without kids, you're welcome. Please come. This is not only something for when you are a parent, it's something you can do now. So please come. But I want to give you just a few thoughts on raising your children up. That's a really important thing, and I just want to mention this really quick before we end. With parenting, specifically on the topic of raising kids up, there can be over-discipline or under-discipline. And ultimately, what the Bible says is, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Now we see that when kids are over-disciplined, when there's a lot of love, when there's a lot of training or instruction or discipline with no love, that's over-discipline, and that provokes your child to anger. But the same is true when you under-discipline your children. And when you have over-discipline or under-discipline, we ultimately see that the child is full of anger or even provoked, as the Bible says. Now, we can do this in many different ways. We can be really passionate about discipline or really passionate about instruction. But whether you over-discipline or under-discipline is not the point. The real point is that you understand that our job is to live in balance of these two things. If we over-discipline, we create anger. If we never actually discipline them and always reason with them, we create anger. We say things like, did that make you feel good to punch your brother in the face? Did that make you feel good? And then we don't actually address the situation. We say, well, don't do that, because that's kind of annoying to him, right? If we don't actually discipline, we provoke anger. Another way to put it is you can raise your children, but not up. If you want to over-discipline or under-discipline, you raise them, but not up. And there are many parents that raise their children to keep them dependent. And if you do that, you're disobeying what God's word says. Now, some of you were on your own from the beginning, and some of you have been kept dependent. And whether there was over-discipline or under-discipline, it creates anger. And we need to have a healthy balance of both, both discipline and instruction. Like I said, we're going to go through these in a couple weeks' time. But one thing I want to give you before we leave, how to raise them up. How do we do this? I want to give you one practical thing that you can do even immediately that will help begin in the process to bring your children up, to take you out from under your authority and even begin to take them and put them in God's hands and so you can raise them up. Number one thing, here's what you do. Bring Jesus into everything. When you're on a walk, tell them how creative God is. When someone mistreats you, tell them how Jesus would respond. When God answers your prayers, tell your kids about it. They respond to it. They really do. Our little girl Scarlett is now praying for parking spots in LA, which is incredibly convenient. No joke, we went to the beach yesterday and we're driving. We can't find parking. You know, beach parking is either really, really expensive or really far away from where you're trying to go. And she just says, God, we need a parking spot. Please give us a parking spot. And we literally pull up and we find the parking spot that is like literally touching the sand. And we get into the parking spot and I think, okay, well, we got a parking spot, but this could be very expensive. So I go over to the meter to pay it and it was already paid for. And we go back and we say, Scarlett, like God answered your prayer. Like this was a real thing. You prayed, God answered. Isn't that so cool? And she's like, yeah. And now she's taking it to the next level and she's just praying for anything that she really wants. And we're like, okay, that's not the point. It's not to just get what you want, it's to get God, but we'll talk about that later. And our heart with that is to tell our kids about Jesus. Now, we don't have this all figured out, right? But honestly, this is a really simple thing to do. And it really, really affects your kids. It really does. When you tell them how Jesus is better and stronger and more amazing than any superhero that Marvel can put out, that begins to shape their mind. Jesus is the real superhero. The kids here on Sunday mornings, during the gathering, they color pictures, they do amazing arts and crafts. And last Sunday night, I got home from church and I saw that my little boy had colored a picture. And it was a picture of Jesus and he had colored it. It was all in the lines. And then I began to look at it and I kind of like tilted my head and I realized that he had inserted in Jesus's hand a lightsaber and the Force in his other hand. It was incredible. I was so pumped about this. Like, yeah, Jesus has the Force. I believe it. It's called the Holy Spirit, but that's another thing. But you see, it's incredible how kids latch onto this. And they ultimately see that they can trust Jesus. And as you do this, you're giving your children the foundation which all of life is ultimately built on. It's ultimately trust in Jesus. You're showing them where to hope. You're showing them where to find joy. You're showing your little boys and girls what their identity should look like in Christ. You're giving them security and showing them ultimately that their security is not even necessarily you fully as parents. It's in Him. What a gift you could give to your kids. It's not ultimately about you. It is about Him. And when we bring Jesus into everything, it really does shape that for us. Now, how do we do all this? I know that I've said a lot of different things to both children and parents. How do we do all this? How do we deal with this hurt that comes from the result of parents giving us too much discipline or not enough? Like I said, we all come from different lifestyles, different perspectives. We all come from different places and different families. How can we honor our parents when we ourselves are broken, right? We're broken. How do we actually do this? The first thing we must do is we must recognize that there is one who was already dishonored for you. You will never be able to deal with all the pain in life until you look at the one who in pain died for you. We know that's Jesus. And we must look to the one who was mistreated for us, that he could, that we would even be able to treat others well, even honor them. As I said, we are all looking for that family love, that unconditional love. God is a father to the fatherless. And even as I bring up that word, some of you have a hard time thinking of God as father, because the father that you had was a terrible example of a father. You have hurt, you have a really hard time relating to God as a father. But God wants to come in and show you what a real father is like. And he sent his own son who was perfectly obedient. We know this. And he honored his father in everything that he did. And yet when he was on the cross, what did he say? You remember, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus experienced separation from his father so that you would never have to. When God says, I'll be with you, it means so much because it came at such a great cost. And it is through being made right with God that we will be able to learn how to be right with others, with our parents. His grace reshapes the way that we honor our parents and we instruct our children. The only place to get true father love is in him. God's fatherly love is not based on your perfection. It's based on his. And you remember Luke 15, it's the story of the prodigal son. The son wastes all of his inheritance. He's down in the dumps. He comes back groveling. And what does his dad do? He gives him a hug. He says, he's rejoicing. He says, it's okay. I forgive you. It's not even a big deal. He covers his sin. He gives him unconditional love, even though he's failed his father. The mark of real father love is that you realize you have nothing to prove, because you have met the real father and you have nothing to prove to anybody. You don't have to try to prove yourself to your parents. You can find your security, you can find your hope, you can find your love and your satisfaction ultimately in him. We are told that Jesus gives us power. Those who call on his name, John 1 says, he gives them power to be the children of God. Until you have gone to the real Father in heaven, you're not going to have the relationship with your parents that you desire. Until he can fulfill the desire and the void which is in your soul, that relationship that you so desire will not happen, because it is only through him, through the power of Christ in you, that will allow you to be able to have this kind of relationship with God and with your family. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your grace upon myself and my friends. Thank you, Jesus, for your gift of the cross. And I pray that as we go in now to a time of worship, as we go into singing, celebrating your body that is broken for us, that you would help us experience the grace that you've given us. I pray, Father, that you would come, even right now, and begin to mold broken relationships that are here. Help us, Lord, honor you. Help us honor our parents. As parents, I pray that you'd help us raise godly children who love you, who are passionate about you. But Jesus, we cannot do this. We are broken. We need your help. We are in desperate need of grace. And so for my brothers and sisters who are here that do not know you, I pray that they would experience the grace of your gospel, the grace of Jesus tonight. I pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to see who you really are. And would you meet us here in this place as we worship? Would you be glorified, we ask. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more audio and video resources, please visit realityla.com.